text for today is recorded in 2 Timothy chapter 4, verses 1 through 5. In the presence of God and of Christ Jesus, who will judge the living and the dead, and in view of his appearing and his kingdom, I give you this charge. Preach the word. Be prepared in season and out of season. Correct, rebuke, and encourage with great patience and careful instruction. For the time will come when people will not put up with sound doctrine. Instead, to suit their own desires, they will gather around them a great number of teachers to say what their itching ears want to hear. They will turn their ears away from the truth and turn aside to myths. But you, keep your head in all situations. Endure hardships. Do the work of an evangelist. Discharge all the duties of your ministry. These are the words. You may be seated. In 1928, a very old Apache chief by the name of Alchise lay dying in the remote mountains of Arizona. When my grandfather, a Wisconsin Synod missionary, heard this, he rushed to be by the man's side. You see, that man was my grandfather's best friend. My grandfather even named one of his own sons after Chief Alchise. The Apaches, who are keeping a vigil over the dying man, tried to cheer him up and pretend that he wasn't in such a bad situation, a circumstance after all, that he would get well. But my grandfather told him the truth. He told his friend, "You are dying." Alchise was lying on a blanket underneath a juniper tree, and he pulled on my grandfather and pulled him close to himself. And then in Apache, he spoke these words, which I translate. "You are the only friend I have. These people are not my friends. They say that I'm going to ride again. They're all lying to me. I'll never ride again. I know that I am going home soon." Grandpa prayed over that man. Grandpa sang hymns in that man's hearing. And my grandfather told that man of the love of Jesus Christ, even as he had told him so many times before. 2 days later, Chief Alchise died and was buried. And God opened wide his arms and received that man into heaven. As we approach the end of the church year, it is customary in chapel as well as in our congregations to concentrate on very serious matters, matters of living and dying and death, matters of hell and heaven, matters of Jesus' imminent return and judgment day. And isn't it sad that as judgment day approaches, we hear more and more lying taking place? Even from clergymen, they're lying to people about God's will and God's word. Let me illustrate how a spiritual leader in these last days could contort and change God's word to try to make it more palatable to what our text calls itching ears, what people really want to hear. And so I'm going to give you a mock sermon of what itching ears would really like to hear. Here it goes. Friends, you are not really bad people. In fact, you are very, very good people, but you realize that sometimes in life things don't go as smoothly as they could. So how are we going to explain this? Sometimes the right words escape you, and later you wish you could have said something maybe a little bit more positive. And sometimes in life, an opportunity escapes you, and later on you think, oh, I should have seized the moment. So why does this take place? Or better yet, what can you do about it to make yourself happy and make others happy and to be a better person? Well, I've come up with the two solutions to giving you happiness in life. So pay attention, and I guarantee this will improve your lot. Here we go. Bullet point number one. Get this in your mind. You are a good person. There's no question about it. But sometimes you make decisions which you wish you had done differently. So what can you do about this? How can you learn to make the right decisions in life? Well, what you should do is say to yourself, what I am about to do or say, or will this make me happy? And what am I about to do or say? Will it make that person happy? And if it will make me happy and that person happy, that's the right decision. Go with it. And 9 out of 10 times, it's going to be the correct decision. So go for it. Now, the second great truth. Someday, when you're old, you want to be able to look back over your life and say to yourself, I was a good person. I was a good man. I was a good woman. I am going to one day leave this world a better place than I found it when I came into this world. Can you say that? Absolutely, you can say that. How so? I'm going to tell you. You need to realize your full potential. And realizing your full potential starts right here and right now. Wake up in the morning and say to yourself, I am going to be a better man or a better woman. I'm going to be a better spouse. I'm going to be a better neighbor. I am going to help people less fortunate than myself. I am going to be a good member of this community, and I'm going to start it now, today. And do it. And years from now, you'll look back over your life, and you'll be able to smile, and you'll be able to be happy because you were a good person, and you are leaving this world a better place. Well, that's the end of this itching ears sermon that people want to hear. It's like telling a dying old man, yes, you're going to get back on that horse and you're going to ride and you're going to shoot deer. Everything's going to get better. No, a lie. Something like a medicine show concoction that's designed there to mask the disease or to sort of alleviate some of the symptoms. It's just not true. So what is the truth? The truth is that we are by nature not good people. Every inclination of our heart and mind is hatred towards God and love towards self. It's selfishness. Look around the world. Is it a great place? No. Why? Because of sin. Look at our own lives. Are our thoughts polluted? Yeah, sometimes they are. Is our behavior questionable? Yes, absolutely. Are our words self-serving all too often? Of course they are. Why is that? Because we too sin. And so what is the consequences of sin? What does sin lead to? The wages of sin is death, and we're not talking about simply dying. We're talking about eternal damnation in a place where the worm never dies and the fire is never quenched. That's what we deserve because of our sinfulness. And you know, there's not one single thing we can do to alter that circumstance for ourselves. We could take all of the fibers of our being and put them together, and they're not strong enough to pull us 1 inch closer to heaven or 1 inch out of hell. And that's the sad fact. But the fact is also this, that saving us is not our job. It is the job of our loving Savior God. Jesus Christ saw our desperate condition. Jesus Christ, God's Son, Lord and Savior, came down and he lived an absolutely perfect, righteous life in every respect and regard. And he says, now let this life count as their life, since they couldn't live it. And then, since we sin and we deserve damnation, he suffered hell itself for us in our place, so we never have to do it. He paid the price for all of our iniquities on that cursed tree, the cross. But I'll tell you this, our God is not dead. He's not hanging on a cross. The cross is empty. Our God is not lying, decaying in a tomb. Our God raised himself from the dead and promises to do the same with us. Through the blood and righteousness of Jesus Christ, we are saved. Thanks be to our God. And that is the truth. Old Chief Alchese died, and his body was laid in the ground on a Malapai ridge overlooking the North Fork of the White River. But his soul is in heaven. Why? Because he was told the truth. And this is what God would have us tell. The truth as God has revealed it to us. Amen. Please rise. I would ask you to please open your hymn book to page 165 in the front part of the hymn book, and there we will read in unison Collect 132. Page 165, Collect 132. Lord God,
Heavenly Father, we most heartily thank you that by your word you have brought us out of the darkness of error into the light of your grace. We beseech you, mercifully help us to walk in that light. Guard us from all error and false doctrine, and grant that we may not ungrateful and despise and persecute your word, but receive it with all our hearts, govern our lives according to it, and put all our trust in your grace through the merits of your dear Son, our Lord Jesus Christ, who lives and reigns with you in the Holy Spirit, one true God, now and forever. Amen.
We sing the final two verses, verses 8 and 9. May the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ, the love of God the Father, and the fellowship of the Holy Spirit be and abide with us all. Depart in peace. Amen.